Hello, friends, and welcome to episode 1152 of the Juice Box Podcast. Today, we'll be speaking with Craig, who has had type 1 diabetes for 50 years. Craig and I are going to go through how technology has changed through his lifetime. And that story ends with him building his own IAPS system. I'm talking about 61-year-old Craig building his own do-it-yourself algorithm. Nothing you hear on the Juice Box Podcast should be considered advice, medical or otherwise. Always consult a physician before making any changes to your healthcare plan. Don't forget to save 40% off of your entire order at CozyEarth.com. All you have to do is use the offer code JUICEBOX at checkout. That's JUICEBOX at checkout to save 40% at CozyEarth.com. And if you're a U.S. resident who has type 1 diabetes or is the caregiver of someone with type 1, please go to t1dexchange.org/juicebox and complete the short survey. You'll be helping type 1 diabetes research right there from your phone, from your sofa, or wherever you are. t1dexchange.org/juicebox. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by the Eversense CGM. Eversense is going to let you break away from some of the CGM norms you may be accustomed to. No more weekly or bi-weekly hassles of sensor changes. Never again will you be able to accidentally bump your sensor off. You won't have to carry around CGM supplies. And worrying about your adhesive lasting? Well, that's a thing of the past. Eversensecgm.com/juicebox. This episode of the Juice Box Podcast is sponsored by AG1. Drinkag1.com/juicebox. Head there now to learn more about AG1. It's vegan-friendly, gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, no sugar added, no artificial sweeteners. And when you make your first order with my link, you're going to get AG1 and a welcome kit that includes a shaker, scoop, and canister. You're also going to get 5 free travel packs and a year's supply of vitamin D with that first order at drinkag1.com/juicebox. This show is sponsored today by the glucagon that my daughter carries, Gvoke HypoPen. Find out more at gvokeglucagon.com/juicebox.
My name is Craig. I've been a T1 diabetic for over 50 years. And I'm here to basically go over what I learned recently pertaining to, the new treatments that are available for type 1 diabetics that before this May, I never knew about.
Oh, this is going to be interesting. I'm going to enjoy this. Okay, Craig, if you've had diabetes for 50 years, how old are you?
I am 61.
Oh, very nice. So you're 11 years old when you were diagnosed 50 years ago, 1975?
Yeah, honestly, it's so long ago, I can't remember exactly.
Right.
But I was about 11 years old, to the best of my recollection. I have a younger brother who's also a T1D. And he was diagnosed several years before me.
In the early 70s. And,
yeah, in the early 70s.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Well, all right. So the reason I'll find this interesting, and I think everybody else will too, is because you've come up with one idea of management, and it's shifted probably 4 times significantly since then. But do you keep up with it? So, all right. So first, let's go back and say, do you remember anything about your diagnosis?
Yeah, I remember it very clearly. At the time, obviously we had some experience with type 1 diabetes in the family because of my brother. I really didn't have any kind of insight into what that was like, other than he had diabetes. I didn't know anything more about what the special conditions were surrounding it.
Mm-hmm. You just basically grew up in a house where your brother has diabetes and he gets a shot twice a day, right?
No, back then it was, I believe, once a day in the morning. from what I can remember. That's what I remember myself starting on once a day in the morning. Mm-hmm. It was a pretty slim treatment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they really, I don't know. There wasn't that much known. This is the way you did it. And, you know, so that's what we accepted. I didn't know. But anyway, getting back to how I discovered I had diabetes, out of the blue, I started to get real thirsty. And I wondered to myself, that's funny. And I had said to my mom, who by this time was taking care of my brother for a couple of years, I said, "Hey, Mom, I'm really thirsty and I'm urinating a lot." And she said, "Oh, well, take one of your brother's test strips," because back then we had the test strips that you had to use. You know, you take it out of the little vial and you pee on a little test strip and then you look at the color. And I remember revealing the color as I peed on it, you know, in front of my own eyes. And it went like all the way up to the worst color. I forget what it was.
The worst colors.
Color, yellow. Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Green was the best color and it wasn't green.
Right.
So she said, "Really? You sure?" I said, "Yeah." And we left for the hospital. So it was a pretty easy diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's how it all started. And, you know, at that point, I really didn't even understand the impact.
Sure.
Even when I was in the hospital, I didn't understand the impact. And, you know, the education that you were given in the hospital was more like how to take an insulin shot yourself. And not much about how to manage it. I guess they must have discussed that at the time with my mom to come up with the dosage. And I'm sure she already had an idea from doing it with my brother. So that's how it all started.
Yeah. You have any other brothers and sisters?
I have two other brothers. And the interesting fact about that is my brother and myself both have brownish hair. My other two brothers that never developed diabetes have blonde hair.
Well, now we know how to avoid it.
Yeah, so that's just like a defining, I guess, trait between our chemistry. Like I must be more chemically alike with my brother that has type 1 diabetes, and the other two are more chemically alike in a different way.
I wonder if that's in any way possible. That's interesting, for sure. So you guys... Right.
That's the fact.
Yeah. Well, you know, not that you're not that your hair color is not the same. I just wonder if that actually has anything to do with anything. That'd be amazing. Growing up, do you guys kind of pair up a little bit because of this, or does it not bond you like that?
I would say somewhat. However, you know, we were kids. We grew up in a city. You know, we lived on a city block. Obviously, he was a different age group than we. We had different. You know, different grades of school, different friends, all that kind of stuff. So I think we both kind of just tried to cope in our own way separately. I don't think we ever got together and compared notes.
I see. If I'm not mistaken, because of this one shot a day process, you weren't really doing much with diabetes, right? If you take insulin or sulfonylureas, you are at risk for your blood sugar going too low. You need a safety net when it matters most. Be ready with Gvoke HypoPen. My daughter carries Gvoke HypoPen everywhere she goes because it's a ready-to-use rescue pen for treating very low blood sugar in people with diabetes ages 2 and above that I trust. Low blood sugar emergencies can happen unexpectedly, and they demand quick action. Luckily, Gvoke HypoPen can be administered in 2 simple steps, even by yourself in certain situations. Show those around you where you store Gvoke HypoPen and how to use it. They need to know how to use Gvoke HypoPen before an emergency situation happens. Learn more about why Gvoke HypoPen is in Arden's Diabetes Toolkit at gvokeglucagon.com/juicebox. Gvoke shouldn't be used if you have a tumor in the gland on the top of your kidneys called a pheochromocytoma, or if you have a tumor in your pancreas called an insulinoma. Visit gvokeglucagon.com/risk for safety information. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day every day, and it makes me feel energized and focused. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. Before I was taking AG1, I would get that brain fog in the middle of the day, and I just couldn't seem to get on top of it. But now, that doesn't happen anymore. By starting my day with AG1, I found focus and a renewed ability to perform at my highest level all day long. drinkag1.com/juicebox. When you use that link, you're supporting the production of the Juice Box podcast. I drink AG1 in the morning, but you could use it as a coffee replacement, before a workout, or in your smoothie. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/juicebox. That's drinkag1.com/juicebox. Check it out.
No.
Did you ever get low?
You were staying alive, Scott.
Yeah, right. Right. Did you ever get low? Did you have low blood sugars as a kid?
Oh, yeah.
That happened?
Oh, yeah. Multiple times a day. I'm a kid. You're out running around. Like, low blood sugar? Sure. I mean, you had to constantly eat to feed the monster, so to speak. Hmm. You know what I mean? It was a never-ending roller coaster. And I'm sure when I wasn't low, I was probably 300. But, you know, we didn't even have any good way to monitor it. So it was like the Wild West of diabetes. But,
yeah,
you know, looking back, people before me obviously didn't even have a chance.
No. That was that you really kind of come into it in one of those very first treatments that allowed you to get 50 years with it.
Yeah. And I can remember the insulin that we used was pork or beef.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so there wasn't that much science behind it all, you know?
No, I take your point. I really do. What's the first shift you remember in management?
That's a long time. You know, I shifted from the one shot a day eventually to multiple shots a day, which still included the one in the morning, but then, trying to give an extra boost during mealtimes. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that wasn't that successful.
Oh, really?
I don't know. The control wasn't much better.
How did you measure?
And not only that, but now I had like syringes all over the place. You know what I mean? Either used or unused or, you know what I mean? It was really just
overwhelming.
It was a mess.
And then your brothers got it too. How often do you see a doctor and how are they measuring your success?
Back then?
Yeah.
I don't remember how often. I'm going to say it wasn't that often.
Okay. And I guess success was being alive.
Yeah, once a year, twice a year. You know, I don't remember all that exactly. Yeah. So anyway, as time went on and I got into my, I'm going to say mid-20s, mm-hmm. I had moved from the city in that I was living in to South Jersey, where I live now, actually Central Jersey on the coast. At that time, obviously, I had to switch doctors. So I left the juvenile doctor treatment that I had in the city and went to a normal endocrinologist. And the gentleman happened to be extremely good. Mm-hmm. He was very big on the latest diabetes innovations.
Okay.
He was like part researcher, part endocrinologist. So he was really good. However, still, you got to remember that at that time, you know, even though he was up on the latest technology, it wasn't really that advanced.
Yeah.
However, the insulin pump had come along and he had been kind of trying to persuade me to try the insulin pump for, I'm going to say, at least 2 years. And for some reason, I resisted. Looking back on it, it's so silly. You know, I didn't know if it was something they cut you open and planted in you. I didn't know anything about what an insulin pump was.
No kidding.
No. Hey, so,
Craig, for me before you go on. I think your microphone's working from your laptop. So can you sit forward? I like you better forward.
How's that? Any better?
Yeah, it's definitely different. Yeah, if you can. Okay. If it's not uncomfortable, if you could stay there, that'd be terrific.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so it takes him. So he's saying insulin pump to you, but you're not even getting enough information to know that it's not a thing that they cut your skin open for.
I guess you have these preconceived fears, you know, about a change. You know, I want you to understand, Scott, along this whole route, I didn't think my control was that bad. Yeah. I thought this is the best you could do. I mean, I didn't have any other knowledge to say, hey, there might be something better that I'm not even considering. Mm-hmm.
Your health is good for these 15 years that we're talking about here, 11 years old, mid-20s.
Yeah, I'm going to say control wasn't that great, but health was very good. Okay. Yes.
All right. And if you are bouncing high to low, your body's kind of accustomed to it. Do you stop feeling lows after a while?
Not at that time.
No, you still felt.
No, I didn't start feeling lows until my late 40s.
Oh, you didn't feel lows at all. You knew how did you know you were low? Dizzy?
No, I knew lows back then. I'm saying I didn't stop feeling them until my late 40s.
I see.
Prior to that, I felt lows constantly.
Okay. So you felt them. So you were bouncing. You were high, then you were low. Did you feel unwell when you were high or?
You feel kind of bloated and sluggish when you're high, mm-hmm. but you push through it. Yeah. Same thing when you're low. You push through it. Yeah. I hate to say.
That was all you had, really.
That's all I knew. There probably was better treatment education and better treatment tools. But if you don't realize that what you're doing is not the best it can be, you don't ever change. Yeah. And that is a problem.
Yep. No, it definitely is.
That's one of the points that I wanted to kind of make with this whole interview was that, you know, change is something as a diabetic, you have got to adapt constantly.
I agree. Yeah. Have you ever heard
what you're doing right now is not good enough compared to what you're going to do tomorrow.
Right. Yep. And stuff they come up with, like I always say, I keep it kind of simple. What I say is I wouldn't jump from technology just because a new thing pops up, but you can't get so comfortable that you find yourself 5-10 years later and everyone's using an algorithm or something and keeping their A1C in the sixes without even trying. And you're back there going, this is fine, you know, with your 8A1C or whatever is going on, because it does get better. And if you don't keep up with it, I mean, it's going to catch up to you, I think.
Well, I think there's a certain denial, at least in myself, there was a certain denial that it could be better. I thought that, hey, I got diabetes and this is it. This is what it is. This is what it feels like every day. This is what you deal. This is what every diabetic deals with every day.
Yeah.
You know,
is there any, I mean, you're an old enough man to have thought about this stuff. So if you consider that there's better, does that make you feel like, oh, I haven't been doing as well for myself as I could have? Like, does it make you feel badly to consider that there's more? That makes sense.
Not really. I'm thankful that there's more. Mm-hmm. You know, anyway, let me get back to the story with my doctor. So he suggests this insulin pump. Finally, one day, I hate to jump around on you, but finally one day I go to his office for my whatever bi-yearly visit. And he's got an insulin pump in the office. And he says, you're taking this home with you. Hmm. And I said, I don't know, you know, so I was hemmed and hawed. And finally I said, okay, I'll take it home with me. Scott, it sat in my hallway in my house for a year before I started on it.
I've heard stories from people back at the beginning of CGMs who would say, I mean, up to Victor Garber was on this podcast and he told me, I asked him about a CGM. And if I'm remembering this correctly, he says, oh, I have one of those. It's in my drawer.
Yeah.
And I was like, Victor, I think you should try it. You know, so I take your point. So it sits in your house for a year?
For a year. So anyway, one day I finally think, okay, I'm going to try this insulin pump. So I get it out. I read the instructions. I call the trainer. They come over. They train me how to use it. And Scott, it wasn't one day when I realized that I had been making a big mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I imagine.
It was that much better.
Today's podcast is sponsored by the Eversense CGM. Boasting a 6-month sensor, The Eversense CGM offers you these key advantages: distinct on-body vibe alerts when high or low, a consistent and exceptional accuracy over a six-month period, and you only need two sensors per year. No longer will you have to carry your CGM supplies with you. You won't have to be concerned about your adhesive not lasting, accidentally knocking off a sensor, or wasting a sensor when you have to replace your transmitter. That's right, there's no more weekly or bi-weekly hassles of sensor changes, not with the Eversense CGM. It's implantable, and it's accurate. EversenseCGM.com/juicebox. The Eversense CGM is the first and only long-term CGM. Eversense sits comfortably right under the skin in your upper arm, and it lasts way longer than any other CGM sensor. Never again will you have to worry about your sensor falling off before the end of its life. So if you want an incredibly accurate CGM that can't get knocked off and won't fall off, you're looking for the Eversense CGM. EversenseCGM.com/juicebox. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and what did that mean for you back then? Like, what was the first thing that you thought, oh, this is better? Is it just not injecting? Is it having more control over the insulin? What part?
I'd say it was 75% not injecting, mm-hmm, and 25% slowly feeling like you had better control. I mean, when I say better control, I don't think it would have improved my A1C greatly right off the bat, but the fact that it kind of alleviated some of the peaks and valleys.
Okay.
Back then, there still wasn't any compatible GCM CGM that worked with the pump.
No,
it was pre that time, so you still had to stick your finger. So that was kind of a big obstacle.
Yeah, and is this? I'm trying to do the math. So if you're 11 and 75, 85, 90, is this the early 90s, early mid 90s?
I went back and looked at the timeline for pump introduction. And let's see, what did I find out here on my notes? Where did I write that down?
Do you remember what kind of pump it was?
Yeah, it was a MiniMed 530G, which was in 2007, I believe.
Wow. Oh, so you were older than your mid-20s by then, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, yes.
No. And what's your blood sugar testing like at that point? You have a meter, but are they very accurate? Like, does time, as time goes on and meters get better, do you look back at them and think, oh god, I don't even think they were very accurate, or just so much better than what you had, like, who cared?
Well, I guess before I had the test strips that you urinated on, compared to that, it was like it was so much better. I mean, it gave you like a number or whatever, I forget, but it was a pretty antiquated looking device by today's standards.
Okay. I guess anytime you're not peeing on your hand is an increase in your happiness.
Yeah. And I hate to say it, but you don't do it. As a kid growing up, how many times you're doing that a day?
Yeah.
Once?
Right. Even when you did it, when you're just shooting once or twice a day anyway, like if you peed on that strip and went to your mom and said, hey, it's yellow, would she do anything?
Scott, it was always yellow.
Gotcha.
There was no other color on that test strip as far as I was concerned.
You just named your episode, Craig.
Yeah, well, it was. It just was. Yeah. I hate to tell you, but yeah, it was. For all the years I used those test strips, I didn't even know if they were any good.
Yeah, isn't that something? Okay, so it's this almost meaningless endeavor. You figure that out, stop doing it.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. So do you think... Was your mother adjusting your insulin based on your weight? Or do you think the doctor did that like once a year? Maybe you went in there and he's like, just here, make it this now instead. And that was kind of it, right?
Yeah, I really don't know how that was determined. All I can tell you is it was pretty arbitrary. Mm,
I got you. All right, so now we're on the pump and you have your first. By the way, isn't it great that your first pump, the biggest takeaway was, wow, I don't have to inject anymore. And now we're sitting around talking about pumps, and we're getting to the point where we're like, well, with this algorithm, you don't even have to do this. And with this algorithm, it does, like, it's so great how far it's come. But you're happier, I imagine. You're not injecting. There's not needles all over the place. At what point do you start using the pump as more than just a way to not have to inject? Like, when do you start understanding the power of it better?
Well, without the constant glucose monitoring capability, that was still very much a guess. Mm-hmm. Everything was a guess. How much insulin you decided to tell the pump to give you was a guess. There was no carb counting, no real testing. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. you kind of just went with it. What worked yesterday, you did that again tomorrow. You know what I mean? And today, it wasn't. There was no science. Wasn't any science. It was just a better tool than a syringe.
Yeah, better than jabbing yourself. But tell me this again, Craig. Yeah. There's no, you hadn't been taught to count carbs at that point?
Nope.
No. Oh, wow.
And if they did try to teach me that, look, I'm a young man. I'm busy. I have a career. I don't have time for all that. When am I going to do that? How am I going to tell how many carbs are in a McDonald's cheeseburger? You had no board back then that told you how many what the nutrition facts were.
Right. So you,
how do you know?
Yeah. So you pick a number or an amount of units, and if you don't get dizzy afterwards, you're like, oh, this might have worked.
Well, guess what? Or you ate something. If it was too much, you know, 3 hours later, you had to stop at 7-Eleven and get something to eat
and grab something.
You know, like a fruit cake or a candy bar. I mean, obviously a lot of times I carried that with me constantly. Every day I needed to treat low blood sugar, I'm going to say for the first 35 years of my life.
Every day. And so almost like, I don't know, like a scale of justice where you're just kind of pouring insulin on one side and then you're holding food in your hand and dropping a little food on the other and just trying to keep those scales as balanced as you can based on how you feel. I got it. Okay.
That was the method of control.
That was it. Well,
now it seems ridiculous, but that's what it was.
Listen, I wish this wasn't your story, right? But I like it being told.
It wasn't that bad, honestly, Scott. I was very successful. I would be able to do anything a non-diabetic could do.
Sure.
So it didn't stop me. Was it a little harder for me? I'd have to think it was.
Yeah.
But it didn't stop me.
You don't think of your life when you look back on it as being difficult?
Well, it was the hand I was dealt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to think, oh, I can't do this because it's too difficult is just an excuse.
Yeah. No, I understand.
You know, I mean, I don't think that gets you anywhere.
Yeah. Do you have, did you get married at some point or have kids?
I did. In 1992, I married my wonderful wife, which was awesome, but we do not have any children.
Okay. Was that on purpose or?
My wife wanted to have children and I kind of was against it, although I would have went along with it. But luckily in my case, being that I wasn't really, I didn't want to bring a diabetic into the world, to be honest with you.
That's what I was wondering.
Of course. I always thought that.
I don't know how it's funny. I've talked to people who come down on both sides of that argument and I've understood everybody's perspective along the way. I can tell you mm-hmm. that when Arden was diagnosed, like we still considered having another child. And I really do think diabetes stopped us from having a third baby. Now, in the beginning, it would have definitely been because we didn't know what we were doing. And if we would have had to do it twice, it would have been a mess. But by the end, it might've been more about our exhaustion than diabetes. I'll never really know for sure, I guess.
Well, Scott, you're not a type 1 diabetic. Of course, you've been able to watch your daughter all these years and, you know, experience through her what it's like to be a diabetic. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you from my point of view, you never want anyone else to become a diabetic. Never.
Yeah. It's one of those I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy thing.
Not in a million years.
Yeah, I understand.
Now, there are worse diseases in the world, don't get me wrong,
sure.
But that doesn't take away the fact that somebody should become a diabetic. That's crazy. No, that's nobody tough. Should become a diabetic, in my view.
Yeah, it's tough. Did your mom ever get to see the improvements in care, and did she?
Yeah, both my mom and dad are still alive.
Oh, geez. How old are they?
My mom is in her early 80s, and my dad is in his mid-80s.
Do either of them have autoimmune issues?
Not really. You know, in my whole family, that was, of course, one of the questions initially in the family was, well, how did you guys get diabetes, you know?
Sure.
And I had one of my grandfather's cousins that was a diabetic. Hmm. Other than that, zero other people with any kind of, you know, again, back then, I don't know, all the disease and immune diseases and everything weren't quite as obvious as they are today.
Right.
But no other signs of immune diseases or diabetes in our family before my brother and I.
Your parents have arthritis or anybody? Nope. No, their stomachs aren't unsettled. They can eat well. No kidding. Yep. Isn't that something?
Yep.
Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. How about your brother? Did your brother end up having kids?
Yes.
Do they have any autoimmune stuff, the children?
No.
How about that? Wow.
No, and so far, no problem.
Wow, you guys are just super lucky, Craig. That's all. you and your brother. Do you still talk? So hey, let me go back to you getting the pump now. Does your brother have a pump when that happens to you, when you get one?
Well, not initially. So I got the pump. I was the pioneer, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a week after I got the pump that I said to my brother, Mark, you got to get a pump. And it took him like another year or two to get one. I guess we're cut from the same cloth.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds two stubborn guys.
Yeah.
But you did, but you were able to get him to get to it eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he absolutely said the same thing, that it was a huge improvement and he should have done it sooner, no doubt.
Right. Okay. So you're going along like that. When's the first time you're in a more modern method of management? You're thinking about carb counts and, you know, like that kind of stuff. Like when do you get into more of a, cause you're there now, right? Craig, I'm not wrong.
Oh yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, when you hear, I'm in like the super advanced class right now.
Nice. Nice. When does that start to happen? And what do you think brought you into it?
Well, in 2018, my pump warranty was up on my second mini med pump. Mm-hmm. And I had tried the Guardian CGM with that, and that didn't work out very well. So when my pump warranty was up, I started looking for other device manufacturers that might have a better device for treating diabetes. So I went to the T-Slim X2 with the Dexcom 5.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
And my doctor and everybody, showed me how to carb count and all that. And, you know, the quick couple of minutes when you have an appointment. However, I really never jumped on that boat of counting carbs. However, you know, now you have your blood glucose measurement constantly. So it made the decisions about guessing how much insulin to take a lot better, yeah, even without counting carbs.
When you see that CGM for the first time, does it blow your mind? Or do you think like, I never knew what was happening? Or do you have the thought like, oh, I thought this what was happening? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, what did it open your eyes to or open up for you?
You know, going back, it's hard to imagine me. I mean, it's hard for me to remember exactly what it was like initially. I'm sure it was an eye opener. Mm-hmm. But again, Scott, you got to understand that, you know, I'm using this as a crutch, so to speak, to get on with my life.
Okay.
Diabetes was not the focus of my attention, like the main focus of my attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until maybe the last 3 or 4 years. Not that I was out of control. My A1Cs were always in the sixes. You know, it just, I thought about things I was doing in life, things I wanted to accomplish. You know what I mean? I guess diabetes was just not number one.
The way it's sounding to me is that, so the way you start, the management is what it is. It doesn't exactly put you on a path of paying close attention to it. And then the pump comes, the pump's just a way to get rid of the needles, which is, you know, terrific. And then the CGM comes, and the CGM's sort of just a way to get rid of like the finger stick testing to you. It's not like you're not looking at it like, I wonder what I could do with these things. You're like, this is making my thing easier. Now back to life. That's it. That makes
exactly
sense.
Yeah, it was a convenience feature.
Yes.
Like, oh, I could just look at this and then that can guide me a little better to what steps I should take as far as insulin management. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't all of a sudden like I focused on the readings all day long. No, okay. That didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. No, and by the way, I don't expect that this is just because of when you were diagnosed. I don't imagine that that's not happening to somebody right now who was diagnosed a year ago, who's just not looking to be all up in this thing and constant with it and not wreck, or maybe having the same thoughts as you, like, maybe this is good enough. I'm standing up, you know, I'm doing my thing. It's not stopping me. Why do I need to look farther in this? Or who would even know if there's more? Because most doctors don't talk about it to begin with.
Yeah, I'm sure that whole train of thought is 100% right on target.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Okay, all right. So a couple of years ago, you decide or make a leap or something happens. What in God's name moves you after all this time?
Well, in 2020, I switched to a newer Tandem X2 control, which was a control basal IQ.
Yep.
Which regulated your basal somewhat, and that was a small improvement. And then about a year later, I guess they came out with the Control IQ, mm-hmm. which was even a step in a better direction. And then you're going to love this. It was only recently, May. So right now we are in the end of August.
Right.
In May, my pump warranty on my latest Tandem T-Slim expired.
Okay.
So every time, you know, your pump warranty expires, you start looking, okay, which pump should I get? You go to the pump store and you look around like you're looking for a cell phone. Which one has the best features? And what I saw was a world that I never knew existed.
No kidding.
A world of information and technology that had come so far, so fast, it blew me away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, by the way, I don't even know about that whole warranty thing because Arden's been on an Omnipod her whole life. So I don't think of it that way. Like she doesn't have a device that gets older and we got to replace it at some point. She's wearing a new pod every 3 days. And it's just not, it's not how my brain works, but it's interesting the way you described it. What did you see when you went out there and looked around?
When I started to look, I saw two great options that I didn't know existed.
Okay.
The one option was the Beta Bionics iLet pump, mm-hmm. which I obviously was really interested in and read all about it and signed up immediately, you know, for the pre-order and all that kind of thing.
Right.
Because I knew, you know, one of the gripes that I had with my Tandem Control IQ was it was too conservative. It okay. just didn't do enough. So,
okay. How so? Was it not attacking your meals as well as you'd like? Was it not keeping?
No. It was like the amount of change that the Tandem pump made was so small, it was insignificant.
Okay.
It wouldn't ever capture me quick enough to stop the lows, and it would never give me enough insulin to stop the highs. It moderated them somewhat, but in day-to-day life, it wasn't a big help.
I love that you went from decades of like, this is fine, to you were like, this is not aggressive enough. That's fantastic.
Well, because as you start to gain insight that there are tools available, you really want more.
Yep.
It's like getting a new car, and all of a sudden, the next year, a car comes out with more features. Don't you want the new car?
I'll tell you right now, this is showing you what access gives people.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And right now, it's coming at such a rapid pace compared to what had been done the previous 30 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
And listen, you're literally excited. You're giddy about it, actually, just even talking about it.
I'm giddy because it's great for all of the people now, if yeah. they can learn and take advantage of it. You know, that to me seems like the biggest stumbling point right now how do you get it out and tell everybody? You know, if the doctor doesn't tell you, who's going to tell you? You're telling people, which I think is just phenomenal.
Oh, I'm glad.
But I don't know. Is everybody listening to the podcast? I hope they are, yeah, but I don't know if they are.
I don't have everybody yet, Craig. I'm working on it still. It really is. I try to make the point over and over again that it, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately because Jenny and I'm sorry, I don't know your level of understanding of the podcast, but it sounds like maybe part of your understanding is coming from the podcast. So I'm going to
definitely.
Yeah. So Jenny and I are working right now on putting together a series for healthcare professionals to walk them through all of the processes from early diagnosis to early education into understanding insulin, like that whole thing. Like we're basically going to put together a podcast series that hopes to teach doctors how to talk about diabetes in a way that won't leave people lost. I just keep going over people's notes and letters and things that they send to me because I've asked for feedback on this. It's a crime that you would get diabetes in a hospital and someone would tell you it's just enough to keep you alive, which is what happened to you 50 years ago. And then they get to a doctor who oftentimes won't give them much more information than that. And with the technology being what it is right now, and even before that, like not telling someone how insulin works, I don't know how you manage a person with diabetes without giving them a firm understanding of insulin and what it's doing and how they can use it more effectively. And so I don't know, just hearing your stories means extra to me today because it's easy to think, yeah, this happened to Craig because he was diagnosed in the 70s. But if you don't think somebody being diagnosed today on August 24th isn't being treated the same way you were, you're not seeing this clearly. The people who find this podcast and listen to it, they're a small fraction of the people walking around using insulin. And that to me is a shame. So,
yeah. Oh, definitely. So I think today with the evolution of the internet, and of course that has come so far, so fast, It's dizzying how fast it all comes at you now. But that in diabetes is a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, million percent. Access to tools, information, other people's stories. It's what speeds everybody up and gets them through it. And it's exactly opposite of how the medical community thinks about disseminating information.
I don't know why they don't change. I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either. Although
I hear that over and over on your podcast that, you know, the people that are supposed to be supporting you don't give you the information that seems so obvious.
Or worse, don't understand it themselves. One of the others.
Maybe that's why. Yeah. I don't know why they're not giving it to you. All I can tell you is from what I've heard in my own experiences, and I have nothing against my endocrinologist. Sure. I mean, I get it. They only get paid so much. You go in and look, every time I go for my visits, I'm doing good. I'm like the star patient. Mm. And this is before what I learned recently.
Yeah, that's so just with you on a pump and a CGM.
They don't really have a reason to say, well, did you ever think about changing and trying this new thing? You know, Even though they should have, they didn't.
That's such a good point. You start getting judged against the people who are doing so poorly. You look like, what are you sitting there with your Tandem T-Slim? What's your A1C?
My A1C was in the mid sixes, 6.2, 6.4, 6.6. You know, it fluctuated a little bit, but right around that range consistently over the past 4 or 5 years.
And that's very good. But what you're saying is that because somebody else coming in after you in that office is walking in with an 8 or a 10 or whatever, you're like, you know what it is? It's like there's 3 kids and one of them's a great student and the other 2 struggle. So no one ever helps the great student with their homework. And that person, that kid, inevitably, always, whenever you meet them as adults, will tell you a sad story about when I was in school, my parents never helped me with my homework. And they'll tell you, I know why, it's because I was doing better than the other ones and other people needed help too, but it still has a really bad effect on them. And that's the same thing. You're walking in there with your 6'2" and nobody's talking to you about anything because they figure you must have it all figured out. By the way, you live your whole life with a 6'2". It'd be amazing. It doesn't mean you don't deserve more information or, you know, an opportunity at the very least. You went and looked at the iLet. Now, the iLet is kind of talking about holding a 7 A1C for people. But with all you have to do is tell it I'm having a big meal, a small meal, or extra large meal. Would you do that? Would you take extra A1C for that comfort?
Well, in the beginning, I was really attracted to the to the less work.
Yeah.
However, I think switching from a Tandem, yes, I would have accepted the 7 to do less work because the Tandem still requires a lot of user input constantly. It's just the algorithm is, like I said, it's not up to the job. So you're always tweaking it, always.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, wow, if I get this iLet, I don't have to do all the tweaking. All I do is live my life. And that's what they're kind of advertising. And maybe that's true. I don't know. I don't have it.
Yeah.
I haven't even been able to find that many people reviewing what it's like. It's very slim at this point.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of people are wearing it, to be honest. At the
yeah, moment. I don't know if they like it or not. I mean, I don't see it out there. I don't see any information on the results,
yeah.
You know, outside of a few.
Smaller company, it's going to take them a while to get it out in the world. Here's what I think. I'd be happy to share what I think about Islet in a couple of sentences. Most people who are living with an A1C over 7, I think it's probably a no-brainer for them. Put it on, big meal, small meal, medium meal. Boom, I have a 7, an A1C in the 7s. I'd say sign me up if I was in that situation. If you're you and you know what a 6.2 looks like now, if you're a person who can get an A1C in the 5s, you know, you're not going to be looking for that. But to your earlier point about how fast technology is moving, who knows when we're going to wake up and the people at Islet are going to be like, hey, Islet keeps you in the 6s. Hey, Islet, we're shooting for, like, I don't know what they're going to keep doing. But they should.
No, it might be capable of that now. I don't know, because I don't have any reports. I have no evidence.
They're very clearly saying in their marketing that they're shooting for 7s, and he was pretty
clear. They're not over promising.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, to your point, or maybe it's something that they had to do with the FDA for set. Like, I have no idea. I can tell you that tonight. Yeah, I can say this on here tonight. I got to think about when things happen, like when people hear it, not just when it's happening.
Sure. Yeah.
We're going to sit down tonight and build Arden an IAPS system. And
okay, I did that already.
Did you? We're going to move her off a loop and try IAPS and see what that is. So yeah, so all this talking, we don't know what you're doing right now, Craig. Like, what is your management right now? What are you using?
I'm getting to that.
Yeah, so, yeah. I know you're doing a good job laying this out, by the way. You said you never did this
before. I'm glad I'm keeping you on the hook, Scott. Yeah,
no, you're doing a great job of telling the story. I loved earlier.
The suspense is killing you.
I loved earlier when you said, I'm sorry for jumping around. I was the one jumping around. You were the one trying to get back to the story. So. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Giv. So what are you up to now?
So when I started to look, I told you I found the Islet, but I also found a really, really fantastic option. Mm-hmm. I discovered the We Are Not Waiting movement.
Okay.
And the more I learned and the more I studied about the movement and all of the advantages to DIY systems, I was immediately convinced this was the way to go.
Yeah. That's hard to argue with. That's for sure. What did you end up doing? Did you loop?
I did not loop because I don't have an iPhone. I have an Android.
Oh, you did APS.
So that pushed me right over to Android APS. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't easy, Scott. I read all that documentation. I don't know how many times, and I'm not going to, you know, kid anybody that transitioning is easy. However, it wasn't just about Android APS, the system, the algorithm. It was about the learning.
Okay.
The learning about carbs, the learning about, you know, different type of carbs, the learning about insulin, the different types of insulin, things I never knew, mm-hmm. which is crazy. In this day and age, I had no idea.
I don't think it's crazy at all, but I love that you went on the trip and you learned.
Wow, it was, I'm telling you, I've been obsessed. For the past 3 months, I've been obsessed because I know that if I can get all this in my brain and, you know, and make sense of it all, it is absolutely the way to go. Right now, there is nothing that comes close. Nothing. These people are the greatest gift to diabetes ever.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I really do.
They're all volunteers. They all do it because they don't want to be diabetics either.
Yep.
They want to be free of diabetes. So they have decided to make a difference.
Yep.
It almost brings me to tears that all these people are working this hard for free.
Yeah.
And then they just let all of us join in for free.
It's uncommon, that to me isn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. That to me really shows that the world is really full of great people. Mm-hmm.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know them all, like, by name, and it's a shame that there's no way to, like, categorize them all over. I can just tell you that when somebody brought it to me the first time and said, hey, I think you should try this, and we got involved. It was the same process. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm lucky enough to have the podcast. Like, people help me build apps and things like that. So like when I said tonight we're going to make IAPS, what I meant was Mike, who's a guy who's been on the show before, is going to zoom in with me and be like, click there, dummy, click there, dummy. And I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And so we've been lucky that way. But I agree with you. Like, one of the first, I was pretty good at diabetes before Loop. I had Arden's A1C in the fives. I knew what I was doing. Like, all that stuff I talk about in the Pro Tip series, I pulled it together and I would do it. Temp basaling, you know, extended boluses, like, you know, peppering insulin across timelines, like stuff like that is, when you stop and think about it, after you've seen looping, all I was doing was I was acting like an algorithm.
Yes.
And then when you see the algorithm, I mean, I've said this so many times, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but when you watch an algorithm give you more basal or make a bolus out of nowhere or take basal away, that's when your brain goes, oh my God, like, we're lucky to be doing this well with a static basal rate. We're lucky to be doing this well with injecting basal. Like, I don't even know, like, how many variables, like you were talking about as a young person, how many times am I eating or exercising or doing something like that to make my body fit into the way I'm giving it insulin instead of making the way I'm giving insulin fit what my body needs? Like, that's just a super switchover. And it teaches you so fast about diabetes when you watch it work. I know the excitement you're having because I had it years ago, and it's like somebody pulls up the curtain and goes, here, this is how it actually happens. It's fantastic.
No, it's amazing. I mean, the Android APS has one feature that I personally think is a great feature that Loop and IPS don't have. Not that I'm knocking them by any stretch of the imagination, but one thing I'm going to say that is included in Android APS is the forced learning.
Yeah.
You have to learn how to use the app and understand how diabetes management works before you get to use all the features of the app.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, and you have
I just finished my learning yesterday.
No kidding.
I completed all of the objectives yesterday.
Oh, no kidding. So explain it to people.
It took me 3 months.
Explain it to people a little bit. You build the app, but then you basically have to like answer questions to move forward to unlock the app as you move. Is that right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, and the questions are complex, to say the least. Mm-hmm. But they have excellent documentation that the volunteers have all put together that obviously in detail explain all of the, every facet of diabetes is explained in these documents, and whatever is incorporated into this app, they develop the questions based on knowing all that information, like, you know, exactly how the carbs impact you and how long are they in your system and on and on and on.
Right.
And if you don't get the questions right, you can't move ahead.
Yeah.
And they're not easy. My wife and I sat and, at one point I had to say to her, look, you got to help me with this. I can't figure it out. And we're reading through the documentation and trying to come up with the answers. And it was really a great exercise looking back at it. Was it frustrating at the time? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Sure.
But do I think in the end it was a great learning experience? The best. Yeah. I don't know how they developed such a clever way to go about letting people use the app by making sure that they learn. That to me is incredibly important.
Smart people, you know? I mean, really. Hey, I'm going to ask you a bit of a bummer question. I'm going to put it in here now because I don't want to ask it at the end.
Sure.
If Android APS existed when your wife was talking about having a baby, do you think that would have changed things for you?
No.
No? You okay. You're more, I got
it's you. It's not gonna stop my genetics.
Gotcha. Okay. I wanted to make sure I understood.
I wish.
Yeah. No, I understand. Okay. How long have you been using Android APS?
I started on June 6th. And in the beginning, I stayed on my tandem pump, and I set up the Android APS system on my phone. I built the app, which, again, that wasn't easy either, but anybody can do it, but it takes patience. Yeah. But I did it. I'm not a computer geek by any stretch of the imagination. I'm like you, Scott. I grew up in the sheet metal business.
Did you?
But anyway, yeah, I own my own HVAC shop.
Oh, no kidding. You and I live oddly close to each other. Because you just,
I know. When I heard that on the podcast, I was like, wow, a sheet metal guy, and he's in New Jersey. That's unbelievable.
So you built your app, and you're using it with the tandem pump. So that's, I don't know about APS.
No, I didn't use it with the tandem pump. I kept the tandem pump on.
Okay.
And now I had an old mini med pump, and I got the orange link, similar to like what you do at Loop. Mm-hmm. And I set it all up, and now I was able to run it alongside without attaching it to myself for like a week.
I see.
To get a feel for how it all worked without putting myself in jeopardy, so to speak, I wasn't sure I knew what I was doing. And that is explained in the documentation that you should kind of do a trial without it attached to you. And that was really the key to getting a feel for the app and all of the different settings and how to use them. Even though, you know, in the beginning, you're certainly not an expert,
right?
But, you know, you're tiptoeing into it instead of jumping in.
It makes a lot of sense because it makes it available to people who are willing to do that work. And that, I think, is, again, that's access and it's options. Not everybody's going to do what you did. Not everybody's going to, like, there's plenty of people who hear this and go, that'd be wonderful, but I can't do that, or I don't want to, or I'm not willing to put that effort into it. Like, they know themselves, right? And it's like making you go over a 3-month obstacle course before you drive a Ferrari. Like, if everybody could just jump into it and go, there'd be a lot of crash Ferraris at the end of the street. And so we don't want that. So the process weeds out people who might not do well with it. And I think that's
That's the part that I'm really not that happy about. I don't want to weed anybody out from being in better control.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all we can hope, this is me, I think all we can hope is that all of the pump companies keep hearing these conversations about these DIY things and say to themselves, can we bring that level of control to the masses? Like, how can we do that? I hope they're all thinking about it, you know, because it's great to put somebody in a not counting carbs situation and give them an A1C in the sevens. I think that's terrific. But if you can do that, can you keep working on it and put them into a different situation with a more stability, a lower A1C? Like, that kind of stuff. Like, I hope they keep all going after it, you know?
I think they will. Yeah. It's just, is the pace quick enough for me? It's never quick enough for me.
Right. No, it's going to be fine for a kid who gets diabetes 20 years from now, but you're sitting here 61 years old. You need it now. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have it now. And honestly, you know, one of the main points that I wanted to, you know, bring about, you know, by coming on the podcast was that people have to, I should have been looking more along the way. I should have been more open to change.
Yeah.
And I wasn't. And that is a big mistake.
I'm glad that you're willing to share that message. And I don't know how much of the podcast you've ever heard, but that's been my attitude forever. And I can't take credit for that. It's because my friend Mike was diagnosed, you know, when we were in our late teens, and he just didn't move along with things. And now even just hearing your story is upsetting for me, because I think this is what happened to Mike. And like, what's the randomness that allowed you to go forward healthy that didn't allow Mike to do it? You know, like, we'll never know what that is, but
yeah, that's tough. And yeah. I can't explain that myself. Honestly, I am one of the healthiest people I know. I mean, I have friends that aren't even here anymore at 61, and I'm a type 1 diabetic for 90% of those years, and I'm still here. Yeah. It's crazy.
No, I know that bit of it is, I mean, that's the unknown part about life in general, but,
Well, that is kind of the other point that I wanted to make as far as living with with diabetes is, you know, I use it as a motivation tool during my life. That, look, it, whatever I wanted to accomplish, whether it was sports when I was a kid or, you know, as you get older, getting married and finding the right woman, or, you know, I built my own house. I have a boat in the Caribbean. I have an island in the Caribbean, a house on an island in the Caribbean. Anything I ever wanted, I use diabetes as sort of like the motivator, like, hey, I can do this in spite of diabetes. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that I can say diabetes didn't stop me.
Oh, I think you can say that. That sounds for sure. Wow. I appreciate you coming on and sharing that perspective. I really do. Would you tell me what island when we're done? Like, not where people can hear, but when we're not being recorded?
Yeah. Okay. You want to go to an island, huh? Everybody wants to go to an island, Scott, especially if you were working out in the cold as a sheet metal worker.
No kidding. You did HVAC your whole life?
I started in HVAC around 1985.
Were you a union shop?
I was both a non-union and union. We're an independent shop.
Okay.
But most of our work was done with government type contracts.
Yeah. Okay. Because the work kind of dried up in Philly a decade ago, right?
Like that's when I got out of it.
Yeah. Because the buildings went from being built to needing maintenance, and the guys that were putting in the duct didn't shift quickly enough to the maintenance side of it. Do I have that about right?
Sort of, you know, I guess business in general is a lot like diabetes. It's always changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You gotta
keep up.
No kidding. Is there anything we didn't talk about that we should have?
Probably, but nothing I can think of right now. Okay. I really want to commend you for the work that you're doing with this podcast. I mean, when I found the podcast, which was through Facebook, by the way, and probably through that We Are Not Waiting, when I started to do research into what that was all about, I discovered the Juice Box podcast. It is absolutely a wealth of knowledge. And I know you've made the point many times where all you have to do is listen and you're learning something. Where else can you do that? You can't do it hardly anywhere else. I don't know of anywhere else.
I took the reading out of learning. I mean, come on.
I think that's fantastic.
I appreciate it very much.
I hope you're able to keep up with it for a good long time.
I've been doing it for 9 years. I'm not stopping now. So I appreciate it very much.
And I wish you and your daughter, of course, the best of luck. And, you know, it sounds to me with your guidance, you know, even though I've heard in some of the podcasts that maybe you don't think that everything that you're suggesting gets through. She's a young woman, but in time, she will realize that, you know, what you have been telling her is really sensible.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
You know, as a young man, you couldn't tell me anything either. I don't think you were probably not much different.
I definitely wasn't.
But as you age, you realize that, hey, maybe somebody can tell me something.
Yeah. Well, when she went off to college, it was a big boost for me because I really watched her take good care of herself. Like, you know, college food is horrendous, you know, processed and not quality. Sure. And she maintained a 6.4, I think, while she was away at college on her own. She was gone for a chunk of time, like 3 months. And then she was back for a little bit, but then she was gone for almost 6 months. And she did that on her own, you know, while being a freshman in college. So I thought, gee, she, between the algorithm and the technology and what we've been beating in her head slowly, like she really did do a good job. She had, you know, a couple lows, but she managed them and I was really proud of her. So,
well, if I can offer Arden any advice, it would be to not let your dad build the IAPS app. You do it.
Let her look at it and watch it. Oh, absolutely.
No, let her do it.
Let her.
She has to want to do it. That's the difference, Scott. That is the difference in getting better at anything in life, and diabetes especially. It's learning.
She usually sits here when we do it. Maybe I'll shove her over in front of the keyboard instead. get her to put
I think that it would be nice if she heard this and said to herself, Hey, Craig's probably right. I should be just telling my dad, let me do that. Yeah. Like on her own accord.
Well, when we get to that day, Craig, then I'll know I'm out of this.
That's why I never moved on to another thing.
Yeah. Yeah, because you didn't know about it.
That maybe it wasn't available. I wasn't looking.
Yeah. And I guess what you're totally right that now that you're involved, now that you're in the game, you're going to keep paying attention to what's happening. And then something else will come along and you'll say, nah, that's not for me. But then something eventually will come along and you'll think, yeah, that's a good leap. I'll take that leap. Let me ask you a final question. Do you worry about or are you planning for when you get older? And like, because right now, obviously, you're incredibly sharp and, you know, easy to talk to. You have recollection and all that. But what happens when you start to get a little older and you still have to manage your diabetes? Is that something you think about?
I think about it in general. It's hard to pinpoint what I'm going to do. I mean, you know, I'm not much of a pre-planner other than I know it'll be different than today.
That's exactly so how I think about it.
I'll have to adapt.
You'll have to adapt, but also the stuff is going to get better and better. And which
I hope
should make, I do too, which I think should make it, you know, more manageable.
Well, I've been reading about all of the new algorithm features that all these great programmers all over the world are working together on, and it is amazing. Mm-hmm. The thoughts and creations that they're working on, Scott, is just amazing.
Yeah,
it's beyond anything I could imagine.
I'm starting to hear about systems where people aren't even announcing carbs. And
well, that's part of this this Android APS right now.
Yeah, so that's something else. I'm looking forward to finding
out. They have the unannounced meals, which I haven't ventured into trying it, but I could. And, you know, obviously it depends on you educating yourself to what all the settings do exactly and getting them fine-tuned exactly.
Yeah.
But right now there are, I'm going to say hundreds, if not a thousand or more people throughout the world that are just eating. They're not doing anything.
Yeah.
They're just eating and letting the algorithm do its job.
Yeah. That almost made me cry just when you said that just now. And I don't have diabetes. But
Scott, and it's going to get better because they're working on what they call branches, which are new branches to refine that system to make it even better.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. I've been watching nice people work on Loop for years, and they take an idea and they try something else. They're like, ooh, I love that, but I wish it did this. And they make little adjustments. It's fantastic. It really is. It's so cool that you found it after the journey you've been on. Honestly, it's really, really.
Yeah. Wonderful. So for me, going to one shot in a day that who knows what it did to this is, it's like going to the moon in your own car. I mean, it's just crazy.
That's a great way to put it. And trust me,
I mean, it's unbelievable. That's how far of an advancement it is.
Yeah. And you will get one day you'll get the thought in your head and you'll think, I'm going to try this no announce meal thing. And you'll look into it. You will. So, wow.
I'm so happy with what I'm doing now. Still, like, you know, listen, I've only been counting carbs for 3 months, Scott. Before that, it was all guesswork.
I have to tell you, we,
you know, like you say on the podcast, I look at a meal, oh, that's 6 units.
Yeah.
That's what I did my whole life.
Trust me, that's still what Arden does. Like, she and I had lunch together yesterday, and her food came out, and she just had a cortisone shot in her shoulder, so everything's a little wonky with her blood sugars, but we're doing a good job keeping it down till that initial hit goes away. But the meal came out and she goes, she's looking at it and she said, tell me how much you think I should bolus. And she said, and I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I said, okay. So I got done. I said, I have a carb number in my head. And she goes, me too. And I said, I have 60. And she goes, I have 65. And I went, okay, do 65. Like she wasn't going to do 60 because I said it, but even just, that was just looking at the plate. Like neither of us did that. We both looked at the plate, came up with that number, you know, and it's very doable. I know that early on, I can't imagine people believe that, but eventually you kind of get good at it. So.
And honestly, even me, I mean, I look at all the labels, at least in the past 2 months, I'm looking at every label. I count the carbs. I convert the protein and fat into a carb equivalent. Mm-hmm. I take the shot for the amount of carbs that are straightforward on the labels. and I enter the, you know, the patent protein conversion into another button that stretches it out over 3 or more hours.
Yep.
But guess what, Scott? It's not exact science.
No.
It still isn't exact. So we're doing it your way, give you the same result? Probably. Right. And is it a lot with less work? Yeah, probably. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't know how to do the carb counting. Sure. It doesn't mean that you can, you know, skip that, but you don't have it. It's still a guess. Nothing is perfect.
I agree. I really do. Listen, until Arden was on Loop, we weren't counting carbs at all. We were counting unit. We were looking at food and making like a unit guess in our head. It was actually getting Loop that made Arden. We had to reverse engineer it. In the beginning, we'd look at the plate and go, "Oh, that's 7 units," and then say, "All right, well, her ratio is this, so 7 units means this many carbs." And that's how we did it in the beginning. And now she just looks at the plate and then a carb number pops into her head instead of a unit number. It's just, you can do it. You know what I mean? It just takes
practice. And that's fine. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
If that's the way you want to do it, that's fine. Because now with your glucose monitor, you're going to see your results. So when the same meal comes up again, you're going to go, "Oh, last time that didn't work out so well. Let me do it a little differently, more or less, based on what your result was last time."
Yep.
That's really the defining tool that you need is experience.
Yep. Experience. And you only get that by doing it. So it's
unfortunately, yes. But, yeah. But you know, the closer guess you can get by being educated to how to guess right, the better it is.
100%. So you found the podcast. Have you listened through, like, do you listen to it like for management stuff? Do you like people's stories? What do you appreciate about it?
I like to listen to the episodes where there is a feature that is a teaching moment. Mm. You know, I know that my story right here has been a lot of my experience. Personally, I don't find that useful.
You know, like listening to people.
It's entertaining.
Right.
But I never even listened to a podcast before your podcast. Yeah. So, you know, I turned on the radio and listened to music. I never listened to a podcast before.
I understand. I'm sorry I've ruined music for you. So now you
I still listen to the music too, Scott. Don't worry.
All right, Craig. Thank you so much for doing this, man. I really do appreciate it.
No, thank you for doing it, Scott. You are the you know, the linchpin in this education movement, you know, one of the linchpins anyway, in your own way. And all of that is really a huge advantage to diabetics everywhere. And I would only hope that people with other kind of afflictions have the same resources, because it is really important. Education is really important.
Yeah, I agree. And I appreciate your words. Thank you so much.
Okay, Scott.
Yep. Hold on for me for a second, okay?
Sure.
A huge thank you to one of today's sponsors, Gvoke Glucagon. Find out more about Gvoke HypoPen at gvokeglucagon.com/juicebox. You spell that GVOKEGLUCAGON.com/juicebox. I want to thank the Eversense CGM for sponsoring this episode of the Juice Box Podcast. Learn more about its implantable sensor, smart transmitter, and terrific mobile application at EversenseCGM.com/juicebox. Get the only implantable sensor for long-term wear. Get Eversense. A huge thank you to one of today's sponsors, AG1. Drink AG1.com/juicebox. You can start your day the same way I do, with a delicious drink of AG1. Lots of people with autoimmune seem to have trouble with their thyroid, and that's why I've made the Defining Thyroid series. Juiceboxpodcast.com. Click on Defining Thyroid, the menu, to find out more. If you're looking for community around type 1 diabetes, check out the Juice Box Podcast private Facebook group, Juice Box Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes. But everybody is welcome. Type 1, type 2, gestational, loved ones, it doesn't matter to me. If you're impacted by diabetes and you're looking for support, comfort, or community, check out Juice Box Podcast, Type 1 Diabetes on Facebook. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back soon with another episode of the Juice Box Podcast. The episode you just heard was professionally edited by Wrong Way Recording. WrongWayRecording.com.